The Capo and Joe podcast is brought to you by Bold City Heating and Air. Fast and reliable AC service.
Welcome into Capo and Joe Facebook Live, or if you're catching us in podcast form, listening to us, watching us, whatever it might be, we appreciate it. Joe C. from XL Primetime, our head coach, Dave Campo. Now, he was a head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. He was an assistant here when they were in the postseason back in the O's, and he's been all over the college football and NFL world. So we lean on him a bunch, especially when we're getting close to draft day. Now, Coach, a little bit of a different time slot for us, okay?
Yes, 1 o'clock.
Yes. So you got in here early with the fresh cut. I think in casting, we were supposed to be wearing a different color. But I guess at least we got matching unis today.
Well, we're close. And, yeah. And to be honest with you, you know, maybe some of our nooners are going to hit this podcast now.
Yeah. So we appreciate it. So you can just kind of plug it in and we'll send out the Facebook Live invite every time. But we're going to do it before XL Primetime. Coach will hang out with us from the 2 to 3 o'clock hour with our new time slot. So I tell you what, I know what you want to talk about. You want to talk about the draft. You want to talk about this football team, and you have a number of possibilities at that 17th pick overall. Before we start looking at the top of the draft, kind of where are you drilling down? We're 23 days until they make that 17th pick.
Well, first of all, the great thing about this draft, in my opinion, is that there's enough firepower early in the draft that pushes guys up to that 17th pick. You know, some years, you know, you're scrambling. Do you move up? Do you move back? A lot of it depends on how many quarterbacks go early in the draft.
Right.
Which I think is going to be, I really believe that there's going to be possibly 5, maybe 6 that go before that 17th pick. So that pushes them up. And then you got probably 3 receivers that are going to go up in there, and it's a deep offensive tackle draft. All of those things are critical positions.
All right, now let me jump in. Would you put tackle in your priority? Where would you put tackle in your priority list, 17th overall? If for example, the Fuanga kid, the Vashano kid, Joe Alt, which I know won't be there, but if somebody like that were to fall.
Well, I would put them in the 5 guys you would, you know, position wise that you would take at 17. I'd put Fuanga in there and he might be there.
Because I'm thinking, like right now, I'm trying to figure out exactly where the most important position is. Last week when we did Campo and Joe, we threw the defensive rush in back into the conversation based on the fact that they're going to go with a four down front primarily. But defensive tackle, I still think, is at the top of the heap because you do have a good Eric Armstead, but you don't know for how long. Right. You need to draft a guy like that. And then the rush in, which you introduced last week, you said flat out, who do they have behind Trayvon and Josh Allen? Then you put the cornerback. Then you put the wide receiver, or do you put the offensive line? Which way do you go?
Well, first of all, I like big guys.
Okay.
And with our situation, you know, you got a guarantee at the right tackle that might be able to move over to the left.
Yeah, he certainly
you don't
could.
Know what's going to happen with Cam Robinson. And you got Walker Little, who for some reason, I think athletically is good enough to play, but for some reason, they're not that excited about him. Yeah. And he's at the end of his initial contract. Yeah. So if there's a guy there that you think is a guarantee, 6-7 year guy, I'd go with a big guy to protect the quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's one, and you could always use him the first year if Cam's going to be there, move him inside.
Yeah.
So I like that, but you know I like the other picks that you just mentioned too, the other positions if there are guys there.
Yeah, because we had a conversation last week with Mark Long, Associated Press, covers the Jags on a regular basis, and he emphatically, basically 100%ed it that Cam Robinson will be on this football team.
Right.
And when he said that, and you and I probably include that in our podcast last week, I'm like, that kind of got me just a little bit. Look, that's just his opinion. Not saying it's 100%, even though he thinks so. I like the leadership quality of Cam.
Right.
I don't necessarily love the price tag that he comes at, but you do need depth based on what happened last year. He missed basically half of the season. Walker Little got hurt. So you do need that depth.
Yeah, but, you know, again, you can look at it in a number of different ways. If they think he brings something to the table. And again, you always hear me say, we're looking at it from the outside.
Right, right.
They're looking at it from the inside. If they feel like he's a guy that you know, brings something to the table, toughness-wise, competitive-wise, kind of a leadership role at that position, and they're going to stick with him, that really truly does open up some other areas that you can go to. And I think that there are positions, if you just look at need alone, there's a couple of other positions that I think that would jump into that category.
Yeah. Other than we do like the fact that there's only so, like the rule, there's only so many big men that can play the game.
Absolutely.
So we both subscribe to that. But at the same time, when you start looking at those others, and this is where we fight that need and best player available, you're pushing down the offensive line need a little bit because of the other needs.
Well, and again, you know, my philosophy is, and we're probably going to talk about this in a minute, but my philosophy is that if you've got guys graded the same at critical positions, you take the guy that's going to help you score points. Well, an offensive tackle that's pretty darn good helps you score points with this quarterback in this situation.
Yeah.
If it goes to the other positions, there's a couple guys that might be able to score some points for you as well. Yeah.
I want you to expand on that. And I'm going to pull up, if I can find it, a quote from Jim Harbaugh, who talked about the offensive line and how important it is. And he's old school.
Right.
You can definitely appreciate.
And so am I.
Yeah. But this, you're an old school defensive guy saying, go get the people who can help you score.
Right.
So that part's good. But tell the story, like, just in your eval and go back to that Zeke Elliott draft.
Right. Well, back when I was doing some TV stuff and was in Dallas, you know, I was on a draft show. And it was a year that Jalen Ramsey and Zeke were coming out. And most of the pundits had those guys at five or six, you know, in that range. And when it came down to the Cowboys pick, which was, I believe, number five, I think it was five.
Yeah, it was four and five.
Yeah, they had that choice on the board. And they asked me what I thought. And my answer was, my philosophy is, take the guy that can score points for you, can put points on the board.
Yeah.
And ultimately, they took Zeke, not because of what I said, but because they took Zeke. Yeah. And of course, Ramsey is outstanding, but they were both outstanding. And to be honest with you, they haven't really been quite the same without Zeke. And when they lost Zeke, their running back situation has kind of struggled now.
Yeah, it's just crazy how it is. It's just the reality of the sport. Running backs are brought in to be spent. It's like loose change in your pocket.
Correct.
And you have to burn it before you leave Vegas. And so that's what a running back is. You use him until he's spent.
And I'll be honest with you, right now the running back position is not as critical as it was back when Zeke came out.
Yeah, even then.
You know, it was a little bit more of a, you know, a need to make sure. But I still believe that if you've got a guy that can help this quarterback score points, that's the guy you got to take.
All right, so to the offensive line point, I just want to read just a little bit of what Jim Harbaugh said. And this is Albert Breer. This is when they were at the NFL owners meeting, because this is why rebuilding teams draft linemen before skill guys. Basically said, a good explanation for why Jim Harbaugh has leaned on and won with outstanding offensive line wherever he's gone. And so the soundbite that Breer is referring to is Jim Harbaugh says, everyone else needs the offensive line to succeed for them to succeed. And that includes the defense, whereas the offensive line can't rely on anybody else to succeed, other than maybe the defense stopping them and they give them the ball back. But but you get the point.
Yes.
And they are vital to a quarterback succeeding, a running back succeeding, and, of course, all the skill position guys receiving the football.
Right. And you know, it comes down to the situation that when you really look at what it takes to win in the National Football League, protect the quarterback and affect the quarterback.
Yep.
And to me, that's the big guys. You know, whatever it is, whether it's defense, offense, whatever it is, you know, that is the key ingredient to winning or losing in that situation.
Yeah, and so when we're talking about the offensive line, which I got a kick out of this is a little bit of an aside, and I'll see if I can pull it up, but Luke Fortner, got extra compensation last year when they went back and they have a formula and they have cash set aside and they take a look at percentage of plays, they take a look at contributions based on either if you were drafted high or if you were drafted low. Meaning, Luke Fortner, as an example, started every single game and was a third-round draft pick. So they would qualify him as underdrafted. They awarded him $850-some thousand. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. This guy just got benched and got a pay raise. But that's the type of guy that you're looking for, or you hope you get a solid starter. Well, they replaced him. And so they've replaced really only one key position. If Right. you go back to the end of the season along that offensive line, how much more successful will they be up front running the football and protecting Trevor?
Well, first of all, I think you're going to get the best Ezra Cleveland mm-hmm. as opposed to what you got last year. Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, how good that is. Like, I can only say that the guy's a good athlete. He's big. You know, if he's physical enough, you know, that's an upgrade because, mm-hmm. And then when you look at the fact that they didn't play together as a unit yeah. because of Cam getting banged up and this, that's why I'm a little concerned with moving the right tackle to left tackle, mm-hmm. getting rid of Cam and bringing in another right tackle. The unity of the offensive line is going to be hurt right. in that situation. Mm-hmm. So, that's the negative part of taking a tackle and getting rid of Cam Robinson.
Yeah, yeah.
So to me, I think, I don't know about that $800,000. I'm not too worried about the money. I'm not too worried about where a guy's drafted. When he comes to you, he's yours. Mm-hmm. And does he play well enough to help you win? And I don't think that Fortner played well enough last year.
Mm-hmm.
to help us win. And that's where a guy like Morse coming in is a plus because the guy's done it before and hopefully age hasn't caught up with him.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the essence of it. A healthy Mitch Morse is an upgrade when it comes to that position, and he will, you would think, make a few other guys better as well. All right, so hit the top of your draft. At least you mentioned four, maybe five quarterbacks. You mentioned three wide receivers, a couple of offensive line. So how many good players do you have after that? Like, if you want to just rattle off what you have at the top.
Well, I don't have an actual
who's going
where.
You just have the players that you think are all top half of the first round quality.
Well, the three receivers, mm-hmm. like yeah. Dunze, Neighbors, yeah. and Harrison.
Marvin Harrison, yeah.
You know, for sure. Mm-hmm. A guy like Turner, mm-hmm. Dallas Turner.
Mm-hmm.
The all the quarterbacks, I think, because of the position, and there's a lot of teams in the league that don't yeah. have quality quarterbacks,
yeah.
they're going to be up in that draft yeah. somewhere.
Which in the last couple of weeks, we've seen these pro days, and J.J. McCarthy has moved up in the conversation.
Yes, absolutely.
Drake May basically has solidified himself. Jaden Daniels is now right. at least being debated about being the number one overall guy. I don't know where Bo Nix fits in, but those first four guys are up there.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about that is, I don't know if y'all down here know Goose Goslin. Goose mm-hmm. has been is retired now, but he was a top Sports Illustrated mm-hmm. Guy that studied the game more than anything in Dallas, and he came out with a column today where he talked about if you look at overall the mm-hmm. quarterback picks. And there's been a lot of talk about the NFL doesn't really know how to pick a quarterback now.
Yeah.
You know, there's, you know, guys, there's about 50-50 whether or not they make it or not, no matter where they were picked.
Yeah.
But he made the comment that you want to pick a guy that's thrown a lot of passes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the concern about J.J. McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to be stronger, the Brock Purdy effect mm-hmm. of being smart, you know, that type of a thing, as opposed to somebody that's thrown 1,500-yard passes.
Logged a lot of snaps.
Absolutely.
Well, both of them actually have. If you go back,
yeah,
Purdy
now,
did Burke, too.
Purdy yes, has yeah, also. Yeah. But I'm just saying that if you're looking at J.J. McCarthy, he only threw the ball 700 times.
Yeah, not a lot.
So, you know, there's that concern right there. But, mm-hmm. you know, to me, somebody's taking a chance just because it's the quarterback position.
Yeah.
Then you add Brock Bowers,
mm-hmm.
the tight end.
Okay.
You know, he's going to go up in there. He's going to be in that top area somewhere because there aren't a lot of tight ends that have his abilities to catch the ball, to run, you know, block. He can do it all. He can be a wide receiver. He can be a tight end. So he's going to be there. Then you got all the tackles.
Yeah.
Fashanu, Fontana, whatever his name
Fuanga.
Is. Fuanga. You got a bunch of those guys up in
and
there.
And Joe Alt. He will be at least presumed the top guy.
Right. And then you've got the corners. Mm-hmm. You got Quinyon Mitchell. You've got Terrion Arnold.
Yeah.
You've got a bunch of guys up there. And then, you know, those are the guys that hopefully are going to be up in there to where somebody falls to you.
Yeah, and we'll go through this on XL Primetime. When we get to 17 days, we'll go 17th overall picks and just have a little fun with it and just kind of keep an eye on those as to whether they were good or not. But you're looking at if Jared Verse were to fall.
And then I didn't mention. You got Jared Verse. You've got
Byron
Murphy. You got Byron Murphy. You got some guys that could go ahead of us at 17, but there's a pretty good chance that some of those guys are going to be there for us.
Yeah, it definitely is worth pointing out. All right, so here's Andrew off of X that we asked, where do you think this team should go? He said, good cornerbacks in round 2 or 3, draft 17 for Trevor, either a weapon for him to throw to or offensive line to protect him. So it does kind of marry up with what you're saying.
Yes.
And if there is, I don't think this is going to happen, but if there is one of those wide receivers that might slip, if Brian Thomas is there, you might have to make a decision.
Yeah, and I think Brian Thomas is number 4, you know. But at the same time, does he have receiver number 1 ability?
Right.
The Campo and Joe podcast is brought to you by Bold City Heating and Air. Fast and reliable AC service.
And that's the decision they're making. Now, when I watch him play, I think he's got all the tools that you need to be a number one. You know, he's got the size, speed, catchability, route running, all of those things he has.
Yeah.
Now, again, you know, you look down the road, there are receivers in the second and third round that can probably start for you. You know, so listen, I'm hopeful that there's 5 positions that I think someone will be there. If we took a offensive tackle, if we took a defensive tackle, if we took a cornerback, if we took a receiver, if we took a pass rusher, I believe there's going to be one of those guys there that I would be happy with if it was picked.
You know, the one thing I think I want to zero in on, and then we'll look at the first 3 most important things, and you can name your 3 most important. Again, this may not fall this way,
right?
But we can name our 3 most important and just see where it goes. But know this much, people. Trent Baalke has got to get the first 3 draft choices correct.
Right.
He has got to arm Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence with a football team that can do a lot of things for you, that can make stops on defense, that can move chains on offense. Because if you go back to last year, he was 1/3 correct. He got Anton Harrison. It was a good move. It was a good decision, but it was also by necessity because of the suspension for Cam.
Right.
So I give him all the credit in the world. He got the right guy. The guy played well. But then the 2/3 of your top 3 picks, nada.
Right.
Nil.
Right.
Zilch. Okay, that ain't good. And so you've got to get more out of Tank Bigsby. We're not giving up on him. We're not giving up on Brenton Strange. But you better get your 3 picks right.
Yeah.
Thursday night and Friday night.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I'm reserving on those 2 picks you just talked about.
Yeah, they could
because
turn into...
I believe Strange has
the potential.
Everything to be a second tight end that can make plays. And that's why I heard somebody say we should take Bowers. I don't believe that.
No, that you know? Leave that room alone right now.
Yeah, yeah. I think we got to give that guy a chance to develop and what he's going to do. And then Bigsby, I think they have to get him involved more. They got to start trusting the guy. The guy's got to, you know, they kind of did at the end of the year. They played him a little bit more because you got to take a few snaps away from the running back.
Yeah, it drove me crazy. They didn't use
but
him until the
answer, you know, in your comment, Trent has got the reputation. He's done a little bit better with the free agents that he has with the draft.
Well,
We've got to hit on those first three picks, and that's what will make a difference on where we do. And what they took with free agency gives us a chance to hit on some guys by position.
Well, I may go over this on XL Primetime with you in a little bit, but in free agency, he basically, including Josh Allen tagging him, he has 7 of 9 guys that he has either retained or signed that are starters.
Yes.
That's a lot. Okay. Yes. Trust me on that, people. For a team that made it to the postseason and has had back-to-back winning seasons, that's a lot to go out and sign as starters. Because Mitch Morse immediately will move in. Gabe Davis will move in. We can classify Devin Duvernay as a starter on special teams. Eric Armstead, a starter. Ronald Darby, a starter. Darnell Savage, a starter. I mean, honestly, Coach, they should have done better with the draft to not have to go get this many guys instantly just to add water starters.
Yeah, well, I think what you've got there are every one of those guys right there, to me, are give you a chance to line up and play this year and play with what you got.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sure. But if you're going to go beyond 9 and 8, you're going to need, just like you said, the addition of our right tackle last year.
Right.
You got to hit 3 of those guys that can help you immediately to take the next step. And the next step is, and especially in this division right now, which I like, by the way, I like the fact that it's going to be tougher.
Yeah.
Because I think that brings out the best in everybody.
You better believe it.
Back in the day when we were, you know, had the NFC East with the Giants and the Redskins, and those guys were all rolling. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia, it made us better with the Cowboys. And I'll tell you what, with the AFC South, when I was here with the Jaguars, you know, we had a pretty darn good football team and came in second to the Indianapolis.
True,
but we made the playoffs
and
took a shot. We won some games in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, you know, to me, I think that's good. But you need some guys in this draft that are future guys that are going to have a chance to help you this year.
Yeah, and I'm looking at it, and I'm going to go, depending on where the cornerback falls, but let's just give our top three before we are done today. But the top three positions for me are interior defensive lineman. I'm still going to keep edge up there because I think it's one of the most important positions. And then I'm going to go cornerback. That means I've left receiver off and I've left offensive lineman off. What say you? Top three positions.
Yeah, I'm saying that the offensive tackle, if he's there, is number one for me.
All right.
Number two, I would say, depending upon the grade, it would either be a corner or a receiver.
Okay.
Either one of those two,
okay?
And then the third one for me would be an interior defensive lineman because I think of all those guys you mentioned that we brought in free agency,
right?
I think the receiver and Gabe and Armstead are the best two.
They're
so
important.
We've helped our interior defensive line, and we've helped our receivers a little bit, but he's not a number one.
Right.
He could be a really good number two in my mind.
All right. Excellent way to look at it. And we'll keep it going. We'll throw prospects at you. You guys hit us on X or on Facebook and just give us a message as far as guys that you're looking at, guys that you'd like to see. And we'll see where it ends up. Because I do believe, Coach, when it's all said and done, you're going to have about a half dozen that can fit into that 17th slot. And you should come out feeling like you made yourself better.
Absolutely. In my mind, there's going to be 5 guys there that if they take any one of those 5, I'm going to be, hey, good job.
Yeah. All right. Let us know what you think. Campo and Joe, we'll talk to you on XL Primetime at 2 p.m. Monday through Friday. And our head coach, Dave Campo, always appreciate him hanging out with us with a little Campo and Joe.
This presentation of the Campo and Joe podcast is brought to you by Bold City Heating and Air, faster, reliable AC service.